Nowadays, we all express ourselves. Sometimes it's okay not to, too. Sometimes it's okay to keep quiet. You know,
Olin Krutz.
If the guy didn't want to fight me at some point during the game, I am not playing hard enough.
14-year NFL veteran.
The leader of the whole deal, Olin Krutz. He's the heartbeat, he's the soul, and he's the guy that's going to lead the way for the Bears offensive line.
6-time Pro Bowler and 4-time NFL All-Pro.
I know if Olin's speaking, it's going to be the truth. It's going to be what he sees, and it's probably going to be right.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
When you watch Hall of Famers interact with each other, especially older players, they would like, hey, how you feeling? How are you doing? It was always a health inquiry that would start any conversation between two of these guys.
At your age, when you see a radio guy, Dave, you guys do the same thing, Mike, okay? I always amaze at you radio guys.
At my age.
Like, I show up. You guys have more injuries than us.
I
see guys, radio guys, getting their knee done.
I don't.
Their hip.
Once
you get into your 60s and 70s, you're in.
I'm not gonna
you're
going to
say, how's
it?
Your health?
I was a former sports writer. We talk about some of those paper cuts. You have no idea.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We look forward to every week our segment with Olin Krutz. Man, this weekend, that pregame show is going to be outstanding with Mully and Patrick and Olin, and they're going to be out there in St. Charles. It's going to be awesome. Oh, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys having me on. Mully is the best, isn't he? There's not a lot of more fun guys to work with in this business.
100% agree. That. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there's a lot of problems here on this offensive line.
Who could have guessed?
Who could have seen this coming? Olin Krutz saw this coming.
So Braxton Jones is not going to be available. Darnell Wright is not going to be available. Karan Amagaji is not going to be available. How difficult, in when you've had injuries on your offensive lines, how difficult is it to formulate a game plan when you're dealing with those types, that level of injury?
It's really difficult, right? Who do you trust? Who do you leave one-on-one? Where do you send your help, and where do you run in critical situations? Where do you get those 1 to 2 yards to keep yourselves in favorable down and distances? And then working together, right? Working together, passing games off, recognizing blitzes, recognizing stunts. Chicago Bears have been better at home on the offensive line, guys. A lot better. We've talked about this before, than they are on the road when they're using silent count, and the stats bear that out. But this offensive line here, Shane Waldron, it's not like the offense has been working well anyway. So who starts, who lines up where, how do they work together, how much reps have they gotten together, right? Even with Larry Borum and Tevin Jenkins, Borum has been out for so long, Coleman Shelton, the right side of the line. I mean, I think you guys are in Vegas, take those dices and roll them, man. Who's going to play the right side of the line? I don't know. I don't know who's going to play out there. Do you put Bates at right guard, kick Pryor out? Leave Pryor there for Curran in. You might see all of it, right? Because Bates, how much football can he play? Does Nate Davis make an appearance again, right? Does he come out? Does his music hit like Stone Cold Steve Austin and he walks out and plays right guard, right? So we'll see. We'll see what they're doing there. This is the worst case scenario when you saw this offensive line put together in the offseason. You worried, man, like up front, if guys don't take a step, maybe a guy gets injured. And that happened immediately, right, with Bates being out. They had to move Coleman Shelton in. Had their problems with Nate Davis. Tevin Jenkins has been in and out of the lineup. Braxton goes down. Then the one guy we talked about over and over again, right? Man, what happens if they lose Darnell Wright there at right tackle, the anchor of their offensive line, their first-round pick, top 10 draft pick, guy who was I thought was ascending. Too bad he got that knee injury. But now, how do they line up? What do you call plays? Give them help. Thankfully, I heard you guys talking to a lot of people this week. I listened to the radio. The Patriots are not a very good football team.
This segment with Olin Krutz is brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. Olin, for anybody who didn't hear it earlier, the reference there is you're saying, who could have seen this coming, is you've been all over them for a lack of allocating assets to the offensive line. You came with receipts, lots of specific draft moments where they didn't go for the offensive line. As we sit here today,
including this year,
as we sit here today, has your opinion of Ryan Poles as a roster builder gotten, have you become less impressed with him as a roster builder over the course of the season?
Now, since 1998, I was talking about assets to the offensive line. But as far as Ryan Poles goes, when he came in, they decimated the roster and rebuilt it, right? And I don't think anybody would argue when you look at the names on this roster, this team is a lot more talented than they have been in a while, right? But that hasn't equaled a lot of production. And if we talk about people taking accountability, people taking responsibility for what is going on in that building, the way they're playing, even though they are 4-4, and that's where we all had them. I had them. I won't speak for you guys. I had them about 500, right? But obviously we all know what the end of the year schedule looks like. And we'll see as we start to play those teams how the Chicago Bears match up. But you wonder, I don't know if I question his talent building as much as I start to question the staff he put around them and how they're getting this thing moving in the right direction. I think everybody knows, people have been talking all week. We've known it for years, right, about that building, Halas Hall. Do they have the right culture? Do they have the right leadership? We're talking about from the top to the bottom, right? You can go back and look for articles on me on 2009 when I played for the Chicago Bears. Saying these things way back then. Saying these things, guys, while they're paying me and I was in a uniform, right? Saying these things, putting my job at risk. Put my job at risk knowing I can get fired. Getting called to the general manager's office. Getting called to the president's office to ask me, why do I say these things about them? So these questions they have about that building, developing quarterbacks. Do they have the right people around the players? Can they get that team moving in the right direction? Guys, the answer has been no now for a long time. And if you're talking about, does Ryan Poles bear responsibility? Of course he does. He's a general manager. He put them all in that building. They didn't look good. The Washington Commanders was an embarrassment right at the end of the game. And then they didn't look good against the Arizona Cardinals. And my problem was, as I told you guys last week, my problem was the film was not terrible against the Washington Commanders. The film was terrible against the Arizona Cardinals. So now you start to wonder, and of course, the general manager, if he wants to be a leader in that building, of course the blame has to start with him at his doorstep, at his office.
I know that this is going to sound simplistic, and that's kind of how I think about football because I don't have your expertise. I look at the Patriots' run defense. I look at what Jacksonville did lining up and running 16 straight run plays against them when they were in England. And I go, with all the injuries on the Bears' offensive line, I feel like this is a game where you tell DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, look, fellas, we're going to be in a lot of 12 and 13 personnel. We're going to make a real commitment to take advantage of some of the issues that this team has stopping the run. Is that too simple of an idea and a game plan, to come out with and just say, we're gonna keep punching them in the mouth, and we're going to try to protect our quarterback by running the ball and walk out of there with a win?
Yeah, run until they stop it, right? Run until they stop it, especially the way your offense looked last week on the road when you try to spread it out. Now, Shane Waldron seems to have a hard time committing to the run, right, and committing to just saying, look, today we're just going to run the ball. We're going to win the game running the ball. Montez Sweat is back, the linchpin of our defense. Let's lean on our defense. Let's lean on our special teams. Let's lean on our fourth-round punter. Let's win the game this way. Get this moving back in the right direction. Hopefully get some more guys back next week. But we'll see what happens, Lawrence, because I don't think it's too simple. As you know, you're talking to an offensive lineman. You guys know how I feel about running the ball. But they haven't done that yet. And I think at some point when I watch this film, Coach Waldron, you know, you can try to bend a little too much to players when you're a coach, is my opinion. When I watch the Chicago Bears play football right now, you can try to change your scheme a little too much. And we heard a lot about how much meetings they have up there. Everybody talking about, we said 3 weeks ago, knock it off. Now everyone's like, knock it off. We're tired of hearing about your guys' meetings. Yeah, I was tired of hearing about it the first time I heard it. Right. So tired of hearing about the meetings, tired of hearing about, like, we told the coach to do this and we told the coach to do that. There's a reason these guys make a lot of money. You got to install your scheme, guys. You got to install your concepts and then you got to run them. Right. When I see now, you want to put in a few things that make guys comfortable. And I know that's what we all say. Run the things that he likes to run. But what I see now is a lot of up-tempo, a lot of empty, a lot of like, you know, guard tackle pull, quarterback read. At some point, get back to Coach Morgan's downhill running. That's what we talked about weeks ago. Why'd you get rid of Blossom Game? Right. Then you got a fumble on the goal line. You don't really have a fullback tight back there in Blossom Game, which I know Coach Morgan likes to run out of. You really don't have Roschon Johnson, probably is close to it as you can get. But you let Khalil Herbert go. Swift is not really a one-cut runner, right? Think about where Morgan is from. He's from the Shanahan scheme. What's the one thing you hear about the Shanahan scheme? You got one cut and you got to get going. How many times do you think they said that in the building this year to Swift? So we'll see what they get going on this run game. Get it going downhill. Make these guys, the New England Patriots, with their injuries, with the way they play defense, with who they have up front, make them stop you. But I'll be honest with you guys. It'll be interesting there on Sunday. The Patriots aren't very good, but the Bears are putting a lot of new pieces in there on their offensive line. And we'll see how they all match up and how they're going to get that movement rolling downhill. But the way the offense looked against the Cardinals, and now they have injuries there to the best offensive lineman. It's going to be an interesting game.
Boy, there's so many things to talk about with this team because Khalil Herbert gone, DeAndre Swift not being a fit for like Chris Morgan's scheme has been so obvious all year. He's had a nice year and done some stuff, but let's put that on the shelf because I got to ask you about your guy, Big Bill. Got to ask you about Andrew Billings and the loss of him on the defensive line. Who needs to step up? How do the Bears have to adjust to losing that guy?
A bit tough one, man. Big Bill is, as you guys know, he's one of my favorites to watch play football, right? And I think he was a little injured this year, too, when I've been watching the last 3 or 4 weeks. I wonder if that back was fully healthy. I remember he popped up on the injury report with a back injury a couple weeks ago, and now his pec goes. But hopefully he gets healthy. He's been a big addition to the Chicago Bears, and he's been fun to watch in the middle of that defensive line for an old center like me. Love watching those guys battle and take on double teams. But as far as who has to step up? Remember, they were playing right and left. They weren't really playing nose tackle and three technique in this defense, right? So Javon Dexter needs to step up. Obviously, not a great game last week. Zach Pickens is back in a mix. Another pretty high draft pick. Chris Williams, they're going to have to do it, guys. Guys are going to have to play better. Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, not a great game last week. Nobody really, not only Big Bill is out, right? Montez was out and Brisker was out. And the first thing I thought about, and we said it on the pregame show when they announced Montez was out. I didn't think, guys, the first thing, I did not think about the pass game. I said, man, I wonder how they're going to stop the run. So first thing I thought to myself, and sure enough, it showed up because Montez Sweat is a monster against the run. So Big Bill is going to be hard to replace Spiegs. I don't know if they can do it, to be honest with you. I think this run game, I don't know if it's going to show up this Sunday, but I think this run, the run defense versus better teams, I think it's going to show its head all year long, especially if Brisker doesn't get healthy here soon.
You said earlier that what was on the tape this week wasn't as good as what was on the tape against Washington. Mm-hmm. What bothered you about the Bears' tape in Arizona?
It was funny because it was 7-6 with 3 minutes left in the second half, right? And just there, it wasn't as physical as you'd like it to be. I thought with Montez Sweat out, the D-line was overwhelmed by an offensive line that wasn't very good. And I guess how I can just plainly answer you, Lawrence, is they lost in the trenches, which bugged me because I didn't think the Cardinals were very good going into the game in the trenches. And then they got overwhelmed at the point of attack on both sides of the ball from about mid-second quarter on, right? They got overwhelmed from there. There was that long run at the end of the half where they messed up the blitz and then Coach Eberflus came out and took blame for the stands not being clean. I don't even know what he was saying after a while, right? He's taking blame for everything. So it was just kind of when you're watching the Chicago Bears on film, the last thing you want to see is them start to lose the line of scrimmage battle against a team that doesn't have, you wouldn't say the Arizona Cardinals have a bunch of monsters up front, right? They're not very strong in the trenches, and the Bears really, really got overwhelmed there from about mid-second quarter on. By that, I mean, a lot of guys, I watch end zone copy like most offensive linemen do, but I also watch the sideline copy, something I learned from Harry Hiestand. You see which – you look at the ball, guys. You guys can do this week. You look at the line of scrimmage, and you just see where the line ends up, right? Do they end up on the defensive side 1 or 2 yards, or do they end up in the backfield on the offside 1 or 2 yards? And I saw that on the wrong side of the Bears' line of scrimmage too many times last week.
He's one of the greatest centers in the history of the game. He's Olin Kreutz. Caleb Williams credited Coleman Shelton for helping him identify the rush schemes a lot when he was talking this week. Do you read anything into Caleb changing plays as much as he does, maybe even specifically in the first quarter where, and it's just a novice's eye wonders, why are they changing so much the play in the first quarter? Shouldn't this be the stuff that they want to do and know to do? Is there anything to read into that from your perspective?
Well, they went up tempo, right? So they have to call the play at the line of scrimmage. And Coleman Shelton, that is a strength of his at the line of scrimmage, making calls, which is why the Chicago Bears seem to struggle when it's silent count, right? Because even though they tap the center and then he's going to snap and then you can't make a lot of calls in when there's a lot of noise, although Arizona doesn't have a lot of noise there. But as far as Williams making a lot of calls, and that's what I was alluding to earlier about maybe you're trying to give him too much of what he likes to do, right? Maybe you're trying to do up-tempo a little too much where he gets a lot of scrimmage and they call it like a freeze play, right? Where you walk up there and freeze means nobody move, right? Freeze, nobody move. I'm going to call a cadence. I just want to see what the defense is lined up in. And you've heard that through the years for Peyton Manning. And when he yelled Omaha, Omaha, it just meant it was live now. So they yell a cadence. The defense gives you the look. They give you the picture. They show you what they want to line up in, where they're going to line up, how many guys they got in the box. Like I keep telling you guys, it's all math, right? If it's favorable, the numbers to run it, you run it. If not, you pass it. And that's what Caleb is doing. He's doing a lot of freeze, line them up, checking what they're in, and then going to a play that makes sense to him or a play that they've gone over on the sideline. And to your point, that's what I was trying to say earlier. I know all these young quarterbacks, guys, that come out of college, it's what they want to do because that's all you do in college, right? You go up tempo, it's one-word plays, and you're just running all over the place. The problem is the good teams have way better athletes than the bad teams in college. In the NFL, you got to actually go up there and beat your man one-on-one. You got to make a quick read. You got to get the ball out. You got to take what the defense is giving you. All the quarterback experts talk to you guys all week about the fact that he's got to take the play that's there for him to make, right? Like, you never go broke taking a profit. All these things, all these quarterback gurus that get paid nowadays say, and they're correct. But those are the things he has to do. And like you're saying, sometimes call the play in the huddle, line up, right? Line up. There's an answer for your play versus any defense. Run it, and let's see what it looks like.
Arizona coming into the game last week had one of the worst pass rush grades of defenses in the league. Mm-hmm. They got to Caleb Williams quite a bit. I might be seeing things, but I feel like I'm seeing too many free rushers against the Bears offense. And I want to know, one, are you seeing that too? And two, what is that a product of when we're seeing guys come free? Because it wasn't like overload. It wasn't they're sending seven. They were sending five, and a guy was going untouched.
Mm-hmm. It's a product of a lot of things, right? And here's the thing I've been talking about when you have to remember now how much in the NFL these guys are making millions to study your offense. So they're studying your blocking scheme. They're studying your protections. They're studying your center's calls. You know how they do that? They put on the TV copy and turn the volume up just like I do. And they hear you make calls. And they hear the quarterback make calls. And they know where the line is sliding. And they know if the running back's on the right side, the line's sliding to the left. And if you call an L word, you're going left. You call an R word, you're going right. You know, like watch the Chiefs, right? They say odd and even. Odd, they're going left. Even, they're going right. The center is – it's just they last week, Rallis did a good job with Buda Baker hiding. He was hiding cover two. He was hiding cover one. They're doing a nice job disguising their looks. They can do a lot with the safeties that they got. And then they were waiting for them to make their protection calls, and then they're deciding who was going to come after the quarterback. And if the quarterback won't take the profit – they'll keep coming from the side that you can't pick it up, even if all the experts say, look, he's pointing at the guy. Congratulations. No one's blocking him. Get the ball out. Congratulations. You're pointing at him. I don't care. You're not paid to point at a guy blitzing. You're paid. That's what they talk about. You have to beat the blitz where it's coming from, guys. That's what they mean. Somebody's open over there where the guy's blitzing from. Now, look, I'll be totally honest. I don't know if Swift was supposed to be over there scanning for that guy, but it's weird to me that the center sliding one way, the running back's on that side, and the running back's not getting out. But I don't know what it's supposed to be. But you pointing at him is not helping me at all, right? You got to get him blocked, or you got to get the damn ball out, right? We're not paid. This is not walkthrough. That guy's coming. Let's point at him. No. So yes, they were over. They've been. Now we talked about on this show a lot, guys. On the road, it's silent count. We talked about what they did. In London, they struggled, too, against the Jaguars early. We talked about that. We talked about how they switched from silent count to regular cadence. That way the center can make the calls and the tackles can get off the ball. The offensive line in the second half was overwhelmed, along with you heard Coach Eberflus, you heard Shane Waldron, you heard everybody say it, there's a lot of guys to blame in the pass protection problem. What they're saying is everyone had a problem. Some guys weren't running hot routes, which I saw on film. Some guys were missing their hot route. Quarterback wasn't throwing the hot route. The O-line wasn't picking up the blitz, and the running back wasn't scanning for blitzers. So they had a meltdown there in Arizona in the second quarter. And that, like when you asked me, man, what did you see on film that you're worried about that you didn't see versus Washington? The meltdown that they had on the Hail Mary, guys, it continued. And that's what bothered me.
This Sunday, join the Score in Circa Sports Illinois at Jarrett Payton's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. Mully, Olin Kreutz, and Patrick Manley will host our pregame show there from 9 to noon. Then have immediate reaction on the postgame show after Chicago takes on New England. That's this Sunday at flagship on the Fox in St. Charles, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. We were talking, Olin, we got you guys for breakfast on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's 7 to 10 our time. So pancakes with Pat. Oatmeal with Olin? I don't know. What's for breakfast for Olin Kreutz these days? What's a good healthy breakfast?
You know, in Hawaii, the McDonald's has Portuguese sausage, eggs, and rice, spam, eggs, and rice. But to be honest with you, nowadays I usually don't eat breakfast. Right? I'm trying to keep my weight down. I can look at pancakes and get back to 265. So I try to stay around 245, 250. Usually skip breakfast. Try to do that fasting thing and this keto thing that everybody does. It does work. It's miserable. It's painful. Everybody says, man, how'd you lose all that weight? How'd you keep your weight off? I say, it sucks. And like, stop acting like you don't know what it takes to lose weight. Everyone knows what it takes to lose weight. Nobody wants to do it.
Oh, good for you. That's so true, dude. You've got a high capacity for misery. You got a high capacity for it.
Misery loves company, Speaks, anytime you want to jump in.
Oh, man, I appreciate it.
Oh,
I need
God.
It.
Yeah. Centers, cardio, old centers, right? Cardio, keto, and fasting. You know, there we go.
All right. Yeah, I might text you for that. I got to get on the old centers.
Not until after we leave here, though.
That's probably
you
good.
You don't want to do that there. No way, man.
No, there's a lot more eating and drinking than we
yes,
need to
sir.
Do.
Oh, no, yes, sir.
Fingers. Oh, look at that.
Oh, as always, man, we appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by the show. And God help us all if they lose this game on Sunday.
Don't even say it, man. Don't even say it.
That is our guy, Olin Kreutz.
Oh, man.
We always love Fridays with him. And Speaks is right. Go out and see the boys at Jarrett Payton's place. It's flagship on the Fox in St. Charles. These guys are a great time. They love – Jarrett told us, he's expecting – he brought in, like, extra workers.
Good.
Have you been there?
I've not.
It's
you been there?
Awesome.
Yeah?
It's awesome. And that stretch in St. Charles on the river is just incredible. Incredible. But they've got, like, turf, and they've got these swings that are attached to the bar. It's just a really good vibe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's I love cool. Flagship. Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised, right? It's
food's
it's
killer.
Jarrett.
Yeah. Yeah, he did his big one with that one.
Good.
That's tremendous.
Man, I raised my hand. I'm one of those people that was laughing at Caleb pointing at the free rusher because – and I'm sure he's like, wait, what? What?
Yeah, just point at him.
Guys!
That's not enough.
Guys!
So my action is live, and I've got my first investor. And I want to give everybody the option to hop on in.
Well, you do that, and let's run it by Derek Stevens and find out what he thinks about your choices in life.
We will. At some point. We will.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, so we don't have to run it by Derek.
No, we can run it by us.
Yeah, we can run it by us. Uh-huh. And we can talk about your contingencies and all the people that want to jump in with you.
Yeah, and we'll give everybody the option on how to get there directly.
I'm going
to
have a chicken strip.
There you go. Do it on Spiegel & Holmes on 670 The Score. Mark Rohde at the top of the hour.
Spiegel & Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Do you think it would help if you went someplace so you could rest up a while?
You mean like Vegas?
Well, that's where we are now. We are in Las Vegas at Stadium Swim Circus Sports. We are having a good time on the Spiegel & Holmes show. So, what?
Yo.
What?
Yo.
Yo.
We are having a good time.
A really good time, actually.
Yeah. Why are you saying it like
a
question?
Yep, definitely having a good time. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
Just confirm.
Everybody okay? Everybody
nice. All right? Talking microbrews and...
Yeah. We're all hanging
around. French fries are really good.
Eating French fries. Lawrence, you going on a hike tomorrow?
I'm thinking about it.
Me and Christine are thinking about going on a hike, too.
I'm thinking about it.
Should we hike together as a show?
I was going to say, you want to hike Fremont Street with me?
I was like, Lawrence, can I come with? Is there anything worse when you want to have a moment of, you know, solitude out there? Sure. And so I was like, hey, can I tag along with you?
Yeah, come along to your to where you go commune with nature.
That sounds really nice and peaceful. Can I come? we could do a little partner bonding on a hike tomorrow.
Well, I did a little bit of hiking while I was in AZ, and that's fun, especially because it's real crisp in the morning.
Sure, and I wasn't there, right? Which made it better, don't you think?
I mean, that's not how I would frame it. I would just say that you know, it was nice for me.
Oh, yeah.
To have that time and space to be in a place that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I get you.
Your absence was felt.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good.
I knew that I was going to see you via Zoom a couple hours later.
So you were covered.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to hang out with Speaks.
Well, I thought
the 4 hours that we do the radio show together.
I thought I'd awkwardly bring it up on the air, as opposed to so many options to bring it up off the
air. That's fair. That's what you guys do.
Yeah.
And it's all right.
Oh,
thanks so much.
Don't put all of us in that bag.
Yeah, it's really just Speaks.
Yeah, he is on one today, by the way.
Wait a minute.
You got the Layla comment in Crosstalk, which never happened.
What
you got the arm candy comment.
Well, yeah.
And then you got this.
Well, we're in Vegas, baby.
Bananas and blow.
Yeah.
We'll chalk it all up to the bananas and blow.
Hold up in our cabana, living on bananas and blow. Here's the thing. I'm absolutely going to bet the Bears to sweep the Packers now because the derision that has come my way, thank you, has only
well done, Robbie.
Has only emboldened the small now dream of what it would be like if this happens. And several listeners have been with me. After the discussion earlier today, one guy said, this reminds me of when I really thought the Giants were going to beat the undefeated Patriots, and I got talked out of making the bet, and I cost myself $11,000.
Oh, wow.
Do it, Speaks. So that was one. There's others. Another listener, John, texted me. A listener who's a friend texted me and has already donated $20 to the cause at my Venmo. So I have now just tweeted my Venmo, and I'll tell you now right here. If you want to get in on the bet of the Bears to sweep the Packers this year, just for the sake of adventure, I will split the winnings. The unlikely winnings will be split in exactly the manner in which they are invested.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
At Matthew-Spiegel, I will keep track. Just like investing in a poker player, the World Series of Poker, here we are in Vegas. You will end up with a percentage of this bet, and if it hits, think of the joy we will have together. Wow. Why not believe in something outlandish, with like the Bears sweeping the Packers, and then we will all feel good together. So feel free to join me, Venmo at Matthew-Spiegel.
Go ahead, Shane. I see you want to say something.
No, I don't. I want him to have his fun. There are just so many different ways that you can spend that money. So many different ways.
Let's go see Toppers again.
Yeah, let's go see Top.
Go see Carrot Top?
Take that money and go see Carrot Top again.
That's a phone call away, boys. We can make that happen.
I've never laughed harder.
I mean, you could honestly go to the roulette wheel and...
Yeah. Just put it on black, baby. Yeah,
and your chances would be like pick a number. Pick a number. Like if you want,
honestly think my chances of one number hitting in roulette are better than the Bears to sweep the Packers?
It's a 1 in 38 chance, right? Or 1 in 39 if we're playing double zeros.
So, Matt Eberflus has never beaten the Packers, by the way,
and Matt LaFleur has never lost to the Packers.
Correct,
right? Okay, that seems to be sort of an issue. You mentioned that they're coming off the bye, which is not so nice.
In a league that's, you know, the NFL is parity, right? It's week to week, and let alone year to year. The fact that they haven't been able to just at least get lucky one time, the Bears,
is insane.
It's truly remarkable.
Tanny, it is. That's why it's all going to come back around. One of these years, they're going to sweep them, and it's going to be freakish in its nature.
This whole Bears thing, just because. That's like the whole Caleb Williams will be good just because we deserve it and we're due.
It's the gambler's fallacy.
Yes.
Dude, I'm starting to come around on it.
I knew I'd get you.
Because here's the thing.
Jordan
Love does not take care of the football.
Correct.
He does not take care of the football.
The Bears secondary.
Kyler Gordon back.
Yes.
I doubt Brisker is going to be back for the rest of the season, but Kyler Gordon back. Man.
I keep having to say this. Green Bay's defense is good, too.
Their defense is good. They can run the ball, and plus Matt LaFleur's offense is basically designed to eat up that cover, too. You wonder, why is there a wide-open guy in the middle of the field? Why is Jordan Love thrown to a spot? Oh, because they're thrown to the weak spots in the cover, too.
Yeah, yeah. All of that makes great sense, but what the hell? Come on with me, Shane. You know you're with me.
No, I just get it a little bit more.
My guy John texted, I can't afford much. I'm going to do $20. By the way, they're not going to win an effing game against anyone in the division this year.
Oh.
So now...
He's really behind... Where they're really behind you out here.
Let's do it for John. And then after he sent the money, he said, wait, this is just for a split. Right? And I said, no, this is a sweep. He said, oh, damn, I misunderstood. Whatever, let's roll. So he's in. Let's go.
Okay,
what do we believe in this world of ours? Not democracy. We don't believe in that anymore. Let's believe in the Packers.
What the hell happened here?
Packers sweep.
Jesus Christ.
I thought I was the person doing the show in front of the American flag this week.
Oh, you were out there. Oh, you were. That's right. I did see that.
Camel country.
I don't know. It's been kind of a rough week. But we did see Nick Wright at the airport.
Oh,
wait! that's a great way to set it up.
Yeah, exactly.
We did. What? We did.
We could have drawn that out a little bit more.
That's the story, Lawrence. We saw
Nick
Wright. Saw
Nick Wright at the airport.
Anyway, coming up in the next segment. All right,
here we go.
So wait, where was Nick going?
So he was doing a poker tournament out here for TV. We think he was calling
He
was on the call.
But he might have been playing.
But he also might have been playing.
Is he a player too?
Oh, big.
Yeah, is that why he and Danny are...
No, it's part of their... They're just buds.
Syracuse, right?
They're buds forever.
Yeah. And then KC and...
Yeah. Yeah, but we were walking out of the airport with the limo driver, and I just looked to my left, and I see his long flowing lettuce just going up the escalator. I said, Nick. The hell, dude?
Yeah.
And then,
do you guys know him?
I had never met him before, but Shane has a relationship with him because all the times he's come on the show before. But I had never met him before, so it was nice to meet him. And then, so we're just talking for a little bit.
And I met him in New York for the Marconis. We all hung out around there. Okay.
Have you guys ever heard Bomani talk about going to Nick's house to watch football?
Yes.
We've heard Danny talk about hanging there with Bomani.
Yeah, his Lil Wayne is here, watching the Packers.
And Bomani's like, yeah, they'd be real serious over there with the football game.
So
he has a whole thing of like, you're not really supposed to talk during the game.
Nick does?
Yeah.
Ooh,
oh,
that's
no
a
way,
lot of fun.
There's no way Bomani went for that.
So, you know.
They're like super tight, though.
Obviously, Nick is the dude. He's Mr. National Sports Television. This is what he is. He's highly recognizable. He's very good at his job. And quite frankly, when you're doing these national shows, we make the jokes all the time. You're airport television. People in airports. So when you're in an airport, obviously someone will recognize you, as someone did last night. Guy comes up, he's like, oh, Nick, love the show, man. Keep up the good work. Keep doing what you're doing. And just a rando, right? And so as he's walking out, I think it was Shane that says, all right, hey, what do you think about Danny Parkins? To the rando. And he goes...
It was very funny. I think he probably just didn't know who Danny is yet, and he didn't want to give an opinion of someone that he doesn't know.
But we stepped up. I was like, oh, come on, man. He's working hard. Yeah. That show's good.
It's very good.
Shane loves the show.
I watch it every morning.
I think we sold him. He's like, all right.
Yeah.
I think he's going to give him a shot.
And to be fair, you guys were selling the rando, not Nick Wright.
No,
like, I don't want this to be like, someone asked Nick Wright, and he was like, oh, no.
To be clear.
That's his man, 50 grand.
We're pretty sure that Nick likes Danny. Yes, pretty sure about that. But, Nick was, so he said a 40-hour poker tournament, and he
Good
was
Lord.
On his way last night to catch a flight to Philly, where he was then going to get a car to drive him to New York so he could be on the air today.
Apparently, there was no direct flight from Vegas to New York, which seems like a real, that seems very.
That's shocking.
Yeah. So he was going to rent a car in Philly and drive up from Philly.
Usually there's the red eye flight that takes you from Vegas to New York.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But he was living the life. You know how it is, man. When things are popping, you've been in that spot where you got multiple jobs and things are popping.
Too many jobs.
Right? And you don't want to say no and you just do too many. I mean, you and I both have always been like that from our earliest days. Like I used to go and play a gig. In the 90s, in the early aughts, on a Saturday night from like 8 o'clock until midnight, and then go do sporting news radio from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m., because you can't say no to stuff at a certain time in your life. You just got to rock and keep doing everything until something pops.
It's weird because when NBC Sports Chicago kind of went under, I was like, oh, this is going to be very strange for me because I'm used to doing radio and television in some sort of adding up. It was always like I had both jobs. And now I don't. And it's like, ah. So this is kind of nice.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, I still have House of L. Like, I still have that responsibility.
Yeah.
But that's my own company, so I can kind of run it however I want.
Yeah.
It is strange, though. And you're right. Like, you go through that of, like there was a stretch this summer where I was working both jobs and going to do TV after doing the radio show. And then I'd be done with the TV show, and I'd be like, oh, the day is over.
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
I really just have to get up and do the whole thing again.
And sometimes as you get a little older, you like learn and earn the strength to say no.
Yes.
I was talking to Boog Shambi, our friend Boog Shambi, coming off the World Series, doing the World Series on radio, and he crushed it, did a great job. I listened to a lot of that. And his college hoops coverage for ESPN, he's not starting it until December. He said no to some incredible opportunities and assignments here in the month of November because he just...
Well, it's college basketball. They're all great assignments and opportunities. It's the greatest game in the world.
Ugh.
College basketball.
I thought you were the doctor of NBA.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, but
where do you think I interned?
That's the feeder system.
But sometimes those assignments in college basketball is...
No, they're all bad.
Manhattan, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Exactly. Piscataway, New Jersey.
Those Thanksgiving tournaments where you're doing like 7 games days.
Shane.
But one of those
are awesome.
Well, you went to Hawaii for one, didn't you?
No, I went to
Bahamas.
Went to the Virgin Islands for one, and Zach and I did one. Actually, we did one in Vegas and one in Anaheim. Those are great because it's like you learn everything that you need to learn for the team that your team is playing, and then it evaporates as soon as the game is over because you're on to getting ready for the next game. That environment I really, really like. But yeah, man, just the we're live for West Virginia versus Kansas State.
Yeah,
I'm good. Like, I'm good.
Zach
on
the call for the Bulls game tonight.
Oh, my God.
He is. He and Robbie Hummel.
People, I'm at $110 in my Venmo account.
Oh, wow. Big spender.
My guy, Dave Mint. Dave Mint is in for $20.
Hey, big spender.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Buterbaugh is in for $5.
Hey, give that boy his money back.
No, he says for this crazy Bears bet.
Did he already have his wedding?
I don't know.
He needs his money
for his wedding.
Just over a year ago.
Oh, man, we're rolling now. It's on. At Matthew-Spiegel, unlikely winnings will be split.
Well, I got something for you
that's
going to make you feel terrible about that in the next segment.
Thanks, Lawrence.
That's what I'm here for. Thank next you. On the score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I definitely listened to 6-7 The Score growing up for sure. Driving around in the car with my dad, he'd always have it on.
Afternoons on The Score.
Stadium Swim is the venue. The show is Spiegel and Holmes. We are at Circa Casino and Resort. It's fabulous, adults only. It's top notch. If you want to come to Vegas, this is the place to stay. We are in beautiful downtown Vegas in what looks like Avengers Tower. Because that's what Circa looks like. My driver last night, he's like, you know, this place, no matter where you are in Vegas, you can see it. He's like, I've had nights where it's been rough.
Hmm.
And I'm like, tired. And I go, oh, that's where I'm going. I'm going back to Circa.
Absolutely.
You can see it from everywhere.
That's distressing for passengers of that driver.
No. He was saying in his personal life.
Oh,
like,
I see.
He's out in the streets. He's like, I'm going to make it back to Circa.
Oh, I get you.
So this morning I was watching NFL Network. And Fridays they usually kind of keep it kind of casual on NFL Network. So everyone's like kind of repping their team. And Adam Rank, who is one of their analysts, one of the fantasy gurus, he's rocking a sweet satin Bears jacket.
He's a hardcore Bears dude who has long had passion and info, question mark?
Yeah, I'm never sure what to do with the info that he has on the Bears. And a lot of it has been accurate. This is what I wanted to play for you and get your reaction to. His thoughts on kind of where things stand with your man, Matt Eberflus.
I will say is that there's a possibility that Matt Eberflus actually has a 5-year contract and that he might be more locked in. Because I talked, and I might have alluded to this a moment ago, I talked to some people within NFL circles, people who are close to Ryan Poles, and they indicated to me that regardless of what happens at all, Matt Eberflus is coming back regardless. That they're not going to be in a situation where they just they put him in the same spot that they put Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky and Rex Grossman and everybody else. They're not going to do that. So I'm like, yeah, why not? Why not make this misery last longer?
Oh my God. So yeah. So Rank is hearing that polls is going to bring back Eberflus no matter what at the end of the year. So, look,
so it wouldn't matter if they're 6-11. It wouldn't matter if they're 5-12.
Man, look, there's wanting Eberflus to be fired now, which I've ended up with. There's the resignation that Mike Mulligan voiced the other morning so beautifully. Like, I think they're just going to be bad all year and fire everybody at the end. Good night, everybody. Just like throwing that out there. There's that. And then there's this idea that polls would bring him back no matter what. I got to say, one of my sources that I've been talking to, Lawrence, that you and I have talked about, he said to me he believes Ryan Poles will fight for Matt Eberflus.
Doesn't that change the way you view Ryan Poles?
Big time. If he were to do that, yes.
I mean, he's already done it twice, in bringing him in and then keeping him as the coach. If he were to retain him, like let's call it last year's record. Let's say it's 7-10, okay? And at the end of this, you have one of the longer losing streaks in Bears history. You have them maybe not getting the most out of one quarterback and starting down the road to not doing it with a second quarterback. I don't know how you justify that other than...
No, there's
we're in the same house because we have the same agent.
All right, and the nightmare scenario of Bears ownership not wanting to pay the offset for two more years of a contract, which you hope is not the factor, because no team in the NFL should care about that. But does some ownership care about that? We've lived it in Reinsdorfian circles for a while here now. Are the McCaskies going to be that way? Because I was told today. That, yeah, five-year contract, very, very likely not even odd. I heard that Dan Campbell's first contract was 6 years with the Lions. So coaches do get five-year deals and six-year deals on their first contract.
Is there any way that Matt Eberflus can prove that he's on a similar trajectory?
No.
Over these next nine games.
At 7-10? Is what you're saying? Or like, I mean, if they go 6-3 the rest of the way?
Sure. No, then we're not talking. We're talking about a playoff team then.
Yeah, you're talking about a possible, if not probable, playoff team.
That's an easy sell for Ryan Poles then. But 8-9, 7-10?
8-9, 7-10.
With the rest of his resume and fired coaches and all sorts of other stuff.
And the way this team fell apart after the Hail Mary and absolutely sucked the very next week? No, none of that stuff doesn't go away. No, as the texter says, I hate this team. I hate them so much. Like, that idea that Poles would fight, I hope that is one of those myths. I hope that is just... You know, I hope that's half truths at very, very, very best.
I hope so, too. Mark Grody has got a Bears report, his final Bears report of the week. The Bears hit two words is next here on The Score.